Hello, good evening. I feel very privileged to be here tonight to speak briefly about Rabbi Freeman Halev Shalom. It's actually harder for me to condense what I really want to say in 5 minutes than if I had been asked to speak for an hour. But there is so much to talk about Rabbi Freeman. Where do I start? As many of you know, I really started my career here in Beis Yaakov as a fifth grade mora over 16 years ago. And I will hope if you forgive me if I put my mora cap on for a brief moment. Once a mora, always a mora. It's just inbred in me. Having taught the parshiyos of Sefer Shmos for many years, one of the first things that I thought about when being asked to speak this evening about Rabbi Freeman and connecting it to our school-wide program of Kavod was the relationship between Moshe and Aaron. Aaron was the older brother, and he was really the one that devoted himself to strengthening and encouraging Bnei Yisrael when they were in Mitzrayim. Yet when the time came for Bnei Yisrael to be redeemed from Mitzrayim, you would think that would be Aaron who was there for Bnei Yisrael in their darkest hour, who comforted them, that he would be the one to take out Bnei Yisrael in their moment of glory. But it wasn't Aaron that was chosen to do the Nisim and the Niflaos, but rather it was Moshe who was chosen to take Bnei Yisrael out, his younger brother. You would think that Aaron would have felt resentment or jealousy toward Moshe. How dare you come and be the one to lead them out in their moment of glory when I've been the one that's been there for them all this time? And when Moshe mentions it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Moshe, "Vegam hinehu, and behold he is, Yotzei likrasecha, on his way, coming out, going out to meet you. Vira'acha, and he will see you. V'samach b'libo, and he will rejoice in his heart." Aaron rejoiced in his heart over his younger brother's rise to greatness. And Rashi goes on to say that because of his true heartfelt rejoicing, Aaron was zocher to wear the choshen over his own heart. He didn't care about the kavod. He was there for Klal Yisrael because they needed him. They needed him in their time of tzara, not because he needed the recognition of everything that he did for them and would continue to do for them in the future. Aaron is also a roidev shalom. He would do anything for shalom. And this brings me to Rabbi Freeman. Who was Rabbi Freeman? He was a man that ran from kavod, was there for the klal, ran after shalom, and cared for his talmidos as if they were his own children. He was a modern day Aaron. My father was diagnosed with a level 4 glioblastoma in his brain over 13 years ago. I traveled to Eretz Yisrael every month, knowing that the prognosis was not good. My father became ill in the beginning of September. He was nifter 9 months later, basically the entire school year. Although Rabbi Freeman did not know the extent of my father's illness, or maybe he did in his wisdom, he never once questioned my need to go to Eretz Yisrael monthly. One Erev Shabbos, I was on one of my trips to Eretz Yisrael, and it was in the morning, I was in my mother's kitchen in Yerushalayim, and the phone rang. I picked it up, and I hear, "Hello, Mora Goldstein." I look at my watch, and I saw it was 3 o'clock in America, so my first reaction was, "Rabbi Freeman, why are you up so late?" And he said, "Oh, I'm in Eretz Yisrael for Hachnasah Sefer Torah, and I just happened to be in the neighborhood, so I just wanted to pop in and wish your mother and father a good Shabbos." Now, if any of you know where Bayit Hagana is in Yerushalayim, and you know the geography, you know that Bayit Hagana is not near anything. And I said, okay, sure, we'd love to see you. And sure enough, 5 minutes later, there was a knock on the door, and there was Rabbi Freeman. Now, we know nothing is by chance, and at this point, my father was not in a responsive state, but he was sitting in a wheelchair at the head of the dining room table, and his Erev Shabbos Chavrusa of over 25 years, Dr. Lazar Klurstenfeld, was sitting next to him by the table, still going over the parsha with him, like they had been doing for the past 25 years. Rabbi Freeman came in, greeted my mother with a hearty, "A good and Erev Shabbos, Mrs. Schwartzbaum." And then he said he just wanted to pop in to the dining room and just wish a good Shabbos and refuah shlema to my father. He turned to the dining room table, and he says in surprise, "Lazar?" To which Lazar replied, "Mendy?" They had been childhood friends back in New York and hadn't seen each other in over 40 years. It was quite an emotional reunion, and it's something that my mother and I still talk about till this day. After my father was nifter, Rabbi Freeman added the title of surrogate father to his role of my menahel. Any advice that we needed in our home, it was, ask Rabbi Freeman. When my oldest son became a chassan, we of course wanted to give a bracha to Rabbi Freeman under the chuppah, and I will never forget his answer. Mora Goldstein, there are men who eagerly wait to be given the kavod of a bracha under the chuppah. I don't need that kavod. Please, give it to someone else. By my next son, we again asked him, and he again declined the kibbutz under the chuppah. When my next child got married, it was my daughter, Hindi, and we once again asked Rabbi Freeman to please accept a kibbutz under the chuppah. We were so happy and surprised when he accepted. I never asked him why, but I think that Rabbi Freeman, in his infinite wisdom and sensitivity, knew that perhaps marrying off a daughter was a little bit different than marrying off a son. So even though it went against his nature to accept this kavod, he did so knowing how much it would mean to me. My mother had also just remarried, and although the adult in me was very, very happy, the child in me was still not so sure. We were giving my new stepfather a bracha under the chuppah as well, and I wasn't really sure how to call him up. So who do we go to? Rabbi Friedman. Rabbi Friedman understood my dilemma, but he was also worried about the kavod of my stepfather, who was the chash of a person in his own right. And Rabbi Friedman also knew that this was the first family simcha that my stepfather would be attending as my mother's new husband. The way we called him up would be important. Husband of the Bavi of the Kala? A little long. Just his name, Rabbi David Weinberger? No one would know who he was. I wasn't really comfortable calling him up as the Zaidi of the Kala. Finally, Rabbi Friedman called me into his office one day and said, Mora Goldstein, I got it. You will call him up as Harav David Weinberger, step-grandfather of the Kala. This way he gets the kavod he deserves and the relationship will be understood. Are you okay with that? And I said, yes, Rabbi Friedman, 100%. Well, the end of the story is that the person reading out the names of the kibbutzim got a little confused and read out, Harav David Weinberger, stepfather of the Kala. I turned to my machatzenister under the chuppah and I said, well, I guess now's a good time to tell you that Hindi has a stepfather. Rabbi Friedman came over to me afterwards and said, well, that didn't go exactly as planned, did it? He made sure to attend all of my family simchos. Some were missed in the conflicting family simchos of his own, but he would always make sure that I knew that he would not be there. One time, however, I wasn't Michael him. He came to tell me that he would not be able to attend my own son of Rami's bar mitzvah. He continued by saying that he was attending the bar mitzvah another boy across town. And he concluded by saying, you know, Mara, I would be by yours, but the mother of this boy is a Geirus, and I must attend. I looked at Rabbi Friedman and said, you know what, Rabbi Friedman, until then, I was Makabel, you weren't going to be there. I was Michael, you weren't going to be there. You can't pull the Geirus card with me, though. And we both had a good laugh. Rabbi Friedman was especially sensitive to my mother while she was in Ramallah, since he himself had lost his own father at a young age. He had tremendous kibbutzim for his own mother, and he would always, always ask me how my mother was doing. One time, I went to him to go ask permission to take a couple of extra days off to fly to Eretz Yisrael to visit my mother during midwinter break. I needed to take two days off before, and I thought if I left before vacation started, then I could be back when the girls came back when school started again. He looked at me and he said, no, Mara Goldstein, you're doing this wrong. My heart sank. He said, you should leave from school on Wednesday, the last day of school of vacation. And instead of taking 2 days off, you need to take 3 days off. And in this way, you will be able to spend an extra Shabbos with your mother. Keep it M, Mara Goldstein, keep it M. I have so many more stories to share, but Rabbi Friedman was a stickler for running on time and keeping to the schedule. As according to my calculation, I'm already 1 minute and 20 seconds over the 5 minutes that I was given. So I'm going to end here. As we can see from the stories that I've shared tonight, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Dunn ben Rabbi Aryeh Leib was the epitome of every level and every type of kavod. May this year's school-wide program be an aliyah for his neshama. Thank you.